Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels and music are made for each other. They share a rhythm in the craft of making something timeless, while being a part of legendary nights. From backyard jams to sold-out arenas, there's a song in every toast. Please drink responsibly. Responsibility.org. Jack Daniels and Old No. 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
Doug. Limu and I always tell you to customize your car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. But now, we want you to feel it. Cue the emu music, Limu.
Save yourself money today. Increase your wealth. Customize and save, we say.
That may have been too much feeling.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
See, it's not very good. So,
Now the rings, I couldn't help but notice. Right, did that
I threw with the rings on too. That was not a good idea. But I got 3 of them and only didn't want them to fall off. So kind of eased it in there.
There you go. CEO, owner, co-founder, co-author, Joe Kelly, threw out the first pitch in the Dodgers game. And he did it in a mariachi jacket. Yeah, mariachi jacket. Yeah, biceps are bigger. Mariachi jacket's a little tighter. All those rings in the finger. It makes it hard to throw a pitch. It's just science. But what also is science is the BIB bump. Yep. The CEO, the co-author, the co-founder, Joe Kelly, even he is the guy delivering the BIB bump these days. Not only me handing out stickers throughout the world and then making players have awesome things happen to them, and people have awesome things happen to them. But also Joe with a BIB bump because he throws out the first pitch and then boom, Ohtani hits a home run. Dodgers are on their way. They score 10 runs. They win the game. It's science. You get baseballs and boring involved, good things are going to happen. It is just science. Well, guy who was just on the baseballs and boring program also had another great outing. And it was part of the conversation when it comes to what happened in this first day of the postseason. It is so awesome. It was so awesome to have postseason baseball. Close games for the most part. Low scoring games. Just edge of your seat, throw the cougar in the car type of deal. Lower the heart rate. But for me, what made it so awesome was just all these starting pitchers just dealing, just dominating. And, of course, the guy at the top of the list that we're going to talk about is Garrett Crochet, because before we get into the Gavin Williams, Tarik Skubal, Nick Pivetta, Matthew Boyd, Crochet, Max Fried, Blake Snell, all these guys and how well they did, let's just pause to understand that you had a pitcher actually throw 117 pitches in a postseason game. So just to add context to that, note that was the most pitches since Adam Wainwright threw 120 in 2019. And since 2020, no pitcher in the postseason had thrown more than 112, and that was Tyler Glasnow. Yes, times have changed, but I am so happy that we had this moment where we had all these starting pitchers at least give this hint, give the feeling that they're going to say, you guys, follow my lead. I'm going to go dominate, and you do not need to call the bullpen. Nope, you don't need to call the bullpen. And if you do, it's going to be at the most two guys. So maybe we get that because as you're going to hear later in the podcast, we are reminded that last year, for the first time, more innings came from relievers in the postseason than starters, which is kind of embarrassing, to be perfectly honest with you. But we're off to a good start. Maybe it's just a wild card. Maybe it's just desperation to save the bullpen. Maybe it's just the fact that you had all these number ones lined up. But you know what? The number ones have to be number ones, and that's what's what. But 117 pitches. So I feel very, very fortunate that we can talk about that. We have this podcast, that we have some context, that we have some information, because we're here to entertain, inform, enlighten, all of it. So before we get to my conversation, we talk a lot about the day with Gordo. You know Gordo from our sister podcast, Play Tessie. He was riding high after the crochet outing. But we talked about all of starting pitching, how awesome it is. So I sat down with Gordo late after all these games have finished in day one of the postseason. But before we get to that, I want to play the conversation I had with the aforementioned Crochet about how he got to this point where he could function like this and how he viewed the get on my back guys of yesteryear, like Madison Bumgarner and those guys. And then to top things off, after we talked to Gordo, I'm going to give you another conversation I had with a guy who it was just very, very timely. I got a chance to catch up with him, and that's David Cohn, obviously of the ESPN broadcast. I could talk to David a long, long time, and I wanted to touch base with him because, you know, I don't know when I'm going to get a chance to see him again, and this was going to be the last run, at least this year, for ESPN. But with David, one thing that fits so perfectly in this conversation is that what he did in the postseason, I mean, you can't believe what he did in the postseason. He threw in one game. Now, keep in mind, I gave you all the numbers for Crochet for how 117 pitches was the most since 2019 and blew away everybody else in the 20s. Okay? David Cohn in 1995 had a game where he threw 152 pitches. 152 pitches. And David Cohn did, you talk about 117 pitches, six times in the postseason. Six times he threw 117 or more pitches. All right, well, you'll listen to David Cohn a little bit later. Right now, I want to give you some context to lead into the whole Crochet and starting pitching conversation, this resurfacing. Remember, this is what Garrett Crochet told me when I sat down with him last week. But throughout this year, you say, okay, give me advice about how to get to 205 innings and then beyond.
Not really. It was kind of just I felt like last year I built a good base of knowledge by having those kinds of conversations. And like for better or for worse this year, I had confidence in my plan that it was just going to work. Mm. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of the guys enter the year that way and then encounter some bumps and bruises, throughout the season. But, you know, thankfully I was able to, I guess, see my plan through and just stick to my routine, and, you know, it all worked out. I don't think that necessarily I was doing the right way to do it, but it worked for me, so I felt really good about it.
So what advice would you give somebody who is doing it? Not that, if I'm doing it, which I'm sure I'm gonna do it, but what advice would you give somebody going through it? Just do your thing?
Or? Yeah. I mean, essentially, that's kind of felt like that's how I felt throughout the process. You know, I wasn't going too hard in the weight room after spring training, especially after the All-Star break. It's like really slowly tailoring everything down to just like your essential needs, and trying to make sure that the main priority that day was is it catch today? Is that the main priority, or is the main priority today just recovery? And as we got into September, every day the answer seems to be recovery.
Really?
Just especially as we're gearing up for this stretch. So for me, I felt like when I was younger, I was maybe putting emphasis on the wrong things. You know, I too am a believer of like the harder worker tends to be luckier than the next guy, mm-hmm. or tends to have things go his way just because he's prepared. But you know, I felt like this year I was just trying to work as smartly as I could.
You know what it is? Melatonin in preparation.
I'm not a big melatonin guy.
Okay, well, I don't know. I'm just saying, however you get your sleep.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Right? I agree.
Because sometimes, you know, like we, like it's like you said, you have to pick your poison, right?
Right, definitely. Yeah, just kind of winging it on the fly, though. Yeah.
So, when one of the things that I love, like the idea of get on my back, I'm taking you through the postseason. Like as a young player, and not to say like it's one of 26.
Right.
But still, we've seen guys. This is awesome. I got like the ability to do it and the opportunity to do it. I don't know if you looked at anybody when you were growing up or you followed a playoff run, maybe even as a younger player, and like, man, even from afar, like, man, that is awesome. Because when he pitches in the postseason, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Obviously, Bumgarner was unreal.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I feel like you could look around this locker room and point out five or six guys that can do the same thing. And kind of like you said, it all boils back down to one of 26. And for me, it's I'm trying to do my job and put the team in position to win, same as I have the past.
Yeah, I don't
want to
put pressure on you. I'm just saying, I just like the idea.
It's not pressure. It's, you know, we earned this. So it's not like I'm going to feel pressure and it's going to turn to nerves. No, I'm going to feel the pressure and have pride in it because we worked for this moment.
All right. That's a good springboard to what we're talking about, right? Because it gives you an idea of how he got ready for this, how he prepared, and he's not alone. I mean, it is amazing. It is amazing that you have guys like that who you say, all right, you know, he's an elite pitcher. He's been an elite pitcher all regular season. But what's he going to do in the postseason? And boom, there he is. Skubal did it as well. For the most part, all these guys did it. All the number ones that were relying on that earned the right to be number ones in the regular season came through in this first round of postseason games. And that's why I wanted to honor them. I wanted to talk about them. I wanted to tell you how giddy I was to see starting pitchers just dominate and say, hey, you know what? Maybe this is the next run of the Madison Bumgarner, the John Lester, the Josh Beckett, the Verlander, the whoever it may be. Whoever it may be, the Eovaldi, the Montgomery, the Gallen, the Kelly, all these guys. Just get away from that last year of more innings pitched by relievers and starter pitching. Okay, here's the chit-chat I had with our good friend, Gordo of Playtesting.
All right, there's absolutely nothing I like better, Gordo, than dominant, get on my back, starting pitching in the playoffs. I love it. This is my favorite thing. I love it. I've said it on podcasts. I've mentioned it to pitchers. I said, why can't you guys be the guys who are going to say, all right, I'm going to take you from stem to stern. I'm going to pitch 210, 220, 230, 243 innings, Zach Gallen. Hello. Like, why can't we get more guys like that? And last year, when we had more innings from relief pitchers in the postseason than starters, it made me sad. But now, day one, Gordo, I have hope. I have hope. This is because what we saw exactly what great postseason runs are all about. The foundation of pitchers just absolutely shoving and dominating. And the best way I can say is like, okay, guys, you know, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to absolutely tear up the other team. And the other team is going to be totally demoralized, even in losses. Like, we had some great starting pitching losses. Can I run through Gordo real quick? And thank you for letting me go on this rant. Thank you for joining me. I know your adrenaline is running high. Gordo, of course, of Playtesting.
Let's go.
Let me give you the starting pitchers, okay? This is why I was thinking of this. Is that, okay, so you have Gavin Williams, 6 innings, 2 runs. 8 strikeouts. Good. Tarik Skubal, 7 2/3 innings. 1 run, 14 strikeouts. Better than good. Nick Pivetta, 5 innings, 2 runs, 9 strikeouts. good. Matthew Boyd, 4 1/3 inning. Only 4 1/3 innings, but only one run. Good. Max Fried, 6 1/3 innings, 0 runs. Really good. And, of course, your guy, Garrett Crochet, who, by the way, as he was walking to the clubhouse after his press conference, I asked the most important question of him, which is, are you going to eat a hot dog the day before every one of your starts in postseason?
What'd he say?
No, he dismissed it. He's like, I only did that because the hot dogs are really good here. But it had to be asked. You never know unless you ask. So Garrett Crochet, 7 2/3, one run, 11 strikeouts, no walks. It is amazing, Gordo, and I'm going to get to the other one in a second, but it is amazing that the two guys at the top of the American League Cy Young race, I mean, if they let you vote, if you let you have another day to vote, it would have been really interesting to see. I don't think the voting would have changed because Scooble and Crochet were just basically both awesome. Like, nothing would have changed. So, anyway. Go ahead.
No, nothing would have changed because you had the two dudes who should finish number one and number two, and probably the dude who should finish number three. It's indescribable what they did. And I honestly think, yes, you have how good they are and how much trust their managers have in them to thank for it. And that goes for all the other guys too. You also have the playoff format to thank for it because there's legitimate incentive for these managers to keep some bullpen arms fresh because you got to go three straight days. It's not a two day off. Like, no, you have three straight days. So these managers benefit from saving some bullpen arms. And I think maybe that's why you saw Alex Cora push Garrett Crochet to 117.
Right. And Aaron Boone, by the way, I was in the press conference. He was catching a lot of heat for taking out Fried, which I was a little surprised about because I thought it was like that was common sense. Really, he was at 102 pitches, and they knew that they were wanted him to pitch to Duran, who looked like he had no chance against him. So they throw him out there for another batter, Duran. Okay, you get Duran. Now we have Luke Weaver, and this is how the Yankees are supposed to be built. This, you know, you have Weaver, you have Devin Williams, you have Bednar, you have Cruz. You should be able to get through those innings. And so, but Aaron Boone caught a lot of heat for not doing what Alex Cora ended up doing, which was Garrett Crochet go out and throw 117 pitches. So before you go, let me give you the last one. And I got to check as we tape this if he's pitching another inning. Because last I checked, Blake Snell was at 7-inning pitch, two runs.
He's out of the game now.
So he finishes up 7 innings, 2 runs, 9 strikeouts. Now, the only bad start came from Hunter Green, who went 3 innings and 6 runs. And so, but if you add this up, the first 3 games of the wild card before the Dodgers took on the Reds, the starting pitchers were at 37 innings, gave up 7 runs total and 51 strikeouts. It was just awesome. It was awesome. And you're right. I don't know if it's going to continue because there is a sense of attrition that you have to go through. And I looked up, I went back to last year's wild card. There was only one pitcher that pitched 8 innings the entire postseason, and they did it in the wild card game. Do you remember this?
Was it Corbin Burns?
It was Corbin Burns, and they lost.
Yeah.
They lost. Like, so, yeah, 8 innings, 1 run.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer. Plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's incredible. But you go back to that wild card, the wild card round last year, you only had one other guy pitch seven innings, and that was Michael King, seven shutout innings. And then you had, you had four other guys who pitched six innings. You had Jose Quintana, Cole Reagans, Luis Severino, and Scooble. So, you know, that was fine. They'd all pitch well. And maybe I'm getting out ahead of myself, but I'm just looking at it, I'm like, please, let's get back on track here. Let's have the Jordan Montgomery and Nathan Eovaldi dynamic, the Zach Gallen, Merrill Kelly dynamic from a couple of years ago. And I know that some of these teams would do it if they could. They just ran out of starting pitchers, but. Mm-hmm. I don't know what your sense is, and I don't know like how you feel. I know you're riding high from the Crochet thing. And that's what, honestly, Gordo, that's what made me think about this, because Crochet to me looked like so many of these guys that we can rattle off who have gone on these runs, right?
Yeah. I mean, and it feels like there's no slowing down anytime soon. And I feel like that's the difference between the decision Alex Cora made with Crochet versus the decision Aaron Boone made with Max Fried. Garrett Crochet let up 400 plus mile an hour contact pieces in the first two innings. He got stronger as he went, retired 17 in a row, then lets up the base runner at the very end before striking out Wells. Max Fried was at his best early, and then he had a couple of long innings, had some walks. Like, this is not a guy that you were going to put out there for another turn through the order. As for it moving forward, I do think for these big horses like the Crochets, the Scoobles, especially with these teams, with the Detroit has bullpen issues. The Red Sox, I wouldn't say have bullpen issues, but they certainly have a couple of guys they want to get the game to. I think you could see them try to ride those guys. I don't know if there's anyone else on those two starting staffs that the managers are going to feel comfortable pushing for like seven plus innings to get on my back. I mean, maybe if like Brian Bayo does what he did a couple other times this year against the Yankees, but last time he was out there, and in the entire month of September, we haven't seen that from him. So it might take an ALDS game with Garrett Crochet to see that again from them, and maybe the same for the Tigers.
But this is what sort of legends are made. You know what I'm saying? Like legends are made with this type of stuff. And I'm looking up, you know, and I asked Crochet this the other day. Said, do you remember, or had you followed a postseason where you said that starter, man, like he's just rolling, and you know that if you run into him or it's his turn, they're like, good luck with that, good luck beating him. And he obviously mentioned Madison Bumgarner, which a lot of people do, right?
Easily the number one that comes to mind.
Yeah. So and you know, there's been others. I mean, who for you jumps out like that?
Oh, I just remember in 2013 just mapping out the Michael Wacha starts, because he just came out like I wasn't as tuned with prospects at the time, but at least from my perspective back then in what was it, like my freshman or sophomore year of high school, like he came out of absolute nowhere and it was just start after start after start. He was that dude. It wasn't Madison Bumgarner level, but nothing really is.
Well, I'm just looking up the total innings pitch for seasons in the postseason. So Bumgarner has to. I'm going back to the last 20 years, which I think is fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of incredible. Madison Bumgarner take a guess in 2014, how many extra innings he pitched?
Oh, man. It had to be, ooh. Had to be approaching 50.
52 and two-thirds.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Think about it. Like these starters for entire seasons, like starters who make 30 starts will get to like 160 something innings. And he did 52 in a month.
That's
crazy.
What's amazing is that I'm looking at, you know, the innings total of guys who have actually pitched these innings, this massive amount of innings in the postseason. And if you look at them, like and I'm just looking at ERA, batting average against, they're all awesome. Like I go down to the only one who, let's see, the only one that in their 30, well, from 35 innings or more, who had a high ERA was Justin Verlander in 2019. He pitched 35 and a third extra innings, had a 4.33 ERA. But everybody else, Bumgarner 2014, Cliff Lee 2009, 40 and a third. Lincecum, we remember him, 2010, 37 innings. Garrett Cole, 2019, 36 and two thirds. Evaldi, the most recent guy, 2023, 36 and two thirds innings. So, you know, we've gone away from it. Really, if you look at Evaldi, was really an outlier. Zach Wheeler, 2022, was probably the next one, 35 and two thirds innings. Of course, Gallen went 33 and two thirds innings to get up to his crazy, crazy total number of innings for the year. But I'll just come back to last year. It was. I do sense, Gordo, that managers are going to understand that you have to do this more than they did it last year. I think. I mean, it's just a hunch. Maybe it's recency bias with Cora doing 117 pitches. But I think they just threw caution to the wind, you know? So
I mean, maybe. I really do think so much of it is going to depend on the starter, especially in the wild card series, where every game from every team, regardless of the score of the series, is going to be treated as a must win. Like, if just to use the Red Sox series again, if Bayo or Rodon go out there and let in three or four runs in the first two innings, like, these guys aren't going to have wiggle room to make it five, six, seven innings. Like, no, right. They're going to go to the bullpens.
But I don't – so when it comes to that, though, when I keep citing last year, I don't know how much of it was, well, you know, pitchers sucked and they went to the bullpen. I think it was a lot of like, oh, no, we have this mapped out where you're going to pitch three innings and we're going to – you know, and there was bullpen games all over the place and whatever it is. I don't know. I just wanted to – you know, to me, it's just – I love it. I love it. I love the – I go back to – for me, it was – you know, Schilling, and then Beckett in 2007, you know, Lester, 2013, you know, obviously Bumgarner, Evaldi, a couple different, you know, Evaldi, like the Evaldi-Montgomery thing a couple years ago. Yeah, so I don't know. It give you the tingles.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the team too, because like a team like the Tigers obviously had to push Skubal as long as they could. A team like the Padres, on the other side of that,
yeah,
they don't need to push anyone anything. They shouldn't push anyone anything.
Right.
That bullpen can get you. I mean, we saw it when the Red Sox played them earlier this year, and what Mike King went, what was it, two innings, and they just handed it reliever to reliever to reliever to reliever, and each one was better than the next, but they were all incredible, and they can do that at the drop of a hat.
Well, that's why Pivetta, you see him only go five innings today, right? And he was really good. And yeah, so I don't begrudge him for that, but maybe, you know, maybe even with that great a bullpen, maybe you push Pivetta a little bit. Maybe you push the starting pitcher. I don't know. So when it comes back to all the tingles, all the feels, all the vibes, and for you, when you're watching Crochet pitch, in your case, you just, I mean, you're just like, hey, listen, no need to overthink this, right?
Yeah.
I mean, no need to overthink it. Which was interesting. Here's another interesting thing, is that we talk about modern baseball. Now I'm going to get a little wonky for you, Gordo, sorry. But we talk about modern baseball, and we talk about the modern baseball was, well, analytics show you take this guy out because, you know, whatever reasons, third time through the order. Modern baseball dictates that you do not let the guy go. But where modern baseball surfaced, at least on day one of the postseason, wasn't there. You know where it was? It was actually like in the trainer's room. Like, I've never heard the medical staff mentioned more in a post-game press conference than Alex Cora did.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It was, like he said, he went out of the way. Like, I don't know if they did give a game ball or whatever they did, but he's like, I went out of my way to tell the medical staff, you did it. It was because of what they did that allowed us to do this.
Before the game or over the course of a season?
No, over the course of the season. But he keeps citing the Mets 85 pitch game, you know.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I get it. Like, I understand what he's saying. But like the medical staff and how the modern, and it's not just the Red Sox, it's everybody. It's like there is, before, I remember back in the day, it was, we have to give this guy a fake IL stint so he gets his rest, right? Now they have a million different ways to measure. They put those catapult bras on and they let them go, right? You have one on right now?
Always do.
Oh, I mean, I would like to.
I need it for my heart rate as I'm walking through this win tonight on play test. He's heart beating. Got to keep myself in check.
I'll give a promo to our sister podcast, Play Tessie. How was it? Was it free flowing? What was?
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA cleared and CE marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, now that you wait so long to talk about the postseason, and then the postseason comes, and then you have like an exciting game
right off the bat. Like, I felt like we covered everything, but it was free flowing, and we were happy, but we were in check to the point where it's like, okay, we understand that this is just the first step that had to happen because the Red Sox had to win that game. If the Red Sox didn't win that game, they weren't going to win the series. The Yankees can still win this series. And it's the second you wake up the day after the game, it's like, here you go. You're on to another one. So you can only enjoy it for so long. But I feel like we did a good job of doing it.
Yeah. I thought Alex Bregman was going to throw up at the press conference.
Oh, poor Breggy.
Yeah.
Two hits.
No, it's like him.
Who's the gamer?
Him and Story both, you know, it's like the Pedialyte kicked in halfway through the game. It was amazing. You know, it was just good, man. Like, some great baseball games. Some really
was a fun day of baseball.
It was. And
from the jump.
Yeah, and this is sort of like we try to figure out exactly what it's going to look like. And all we know is today is that we have these other than the Dodgers-Reds, we have these low-scoring games that are really, really tight.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans, send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th, and never miss a meme or milestone, all protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
think it's just because it's what we all knew, that you have a lot of even teams. Like, you just do. It's, you know, it's another subtle thing real quick, Gordo. I know you got to go and lower your heart rate. Take a melatonin, throw a few.
Yeah, maybe.
You know what I'm thinking? You know, my rant about putting the ball in play, how important it is in the postseason.
Yeah.
What happened at the end of the Red Sox-Yankees game?
The Yankees did not put the ball in play.
Did not put the ball in play.
And then, what was it? It was strikeout, flyout, strikeout, right?
Yeah.
Strikeout, lazy, flyout, strikeout. Just got to put the ball in play.
You got to put the ball in play. In you know, it, conversely, it's poor Cleveland. They kind of put the ball in play, but they grounded back to the pitcher. Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's a dagger.
That was a wonky game. Like, earlier in the game, they put the ball in play, and Scooble's like fielding it over his head, and the guy scoring from second. Like, games with Cleveland, just it's a trip. I don't know what's up with them.
Do you think do you give them any hope?
Yes.
Ooh.
I cannot. They could be down 2-0 in a best of three, and for whatever reason, they could still somehow win it.
I will finish with this. Did you see our CEO throw out the first pitch tonight?
Oh, I haven't watched it. I have not watched the clip. Good for the Dodgers for doing that.
But you didn't see what he was wearing?
No.
Oh, you didn't? What was he
wearing? No, I haven't seen any of it.
He was wearing his mariachi jacket.
What's that from?
You know, oh my God.
The mariachi?
He has the mariachi Joe, the mariachi.
Oh, that's right.
He traded his uniform for the mariachi jacket.
Right. And then he
wore the mariachi jacket to the White House.
Yeah.
Which Joe had like said, I'm never going to wear, the next time I wear the mariachi jacket is for my daughter's wedding. And he broke that vow, throw out the first pitch, which I don't know how he did it. I mean, the thing is like so tight. I don't like it seemed, I don't know. Anyway.
Maybe that's why they scored 10 runs in the first first seven innings of this game. They scored 10 runs. So
yeah. Poor Reds.
It's kind of storming back right now, Rob.
They are.
It's 10-5 now. There's bases loaded, one out. And the Dodgers walked in.
The Dodgers bullpen. Oh, so
bad. Dude, it's so bad. I keep looking to my right, and there's someone new on the mound doing something bad.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, you saved me. I appreciate it. Just to have a voice of reason, just even someone,
that's me.
Someone to agree with me all the time. So thank you. I'm happy for you. I'm happy for the great game of baseball. Yay, baseball. And we get to do it all over again. So thanks, man. All right. Finally, I promised I would give you this conversation. I'm going to give it to you. David Cohn, great broadcaster. I love that booth. Him and Eduardo Perez, Carl Ravitch, and Buster Olney as well. I love it. They have great chemistry, and you're going to hear exactly why he thinks they have such great chemistry and why that booth is so special. But also, David Cohn, this is a conversation I had even before what happened on Yankee Stadium, where he had Max Fried and Crochet just absolutely dominate. Before this happened, David Cohn offered some great perspective about what it's like in the postseason and how that feel is. Remember, I'll say it again, 152 pitches he threw in a game in 1995. In that same year, 135 pitches. Oh my God, it's crazy to think about. Anyway, I hope you enjoy. Remember, @BB isn't boring. Newsletter every day. Newsletter Alex, he's cranking these things out, and we're gonna it's the next wave of baseballs and boring content for you. I hope you're gonna enjoy. We're trying to make it fun. A lot of people are helping make it fun. It just hit. Postseason hit. All right, well, top things off with this awesome podcast today, David Cohn. All right, there's no human being on the planet I'd rather be talking to more than David Cohn right now. That's a fact. So I wanted to ask you a very simple question. Broadcasting in the postseason, playing in the postseason, give me any correlation between the two, or if playing in the postseason has allowed you to become a better broadcaster in the postseason.
Certainly experience matters. Yeah. So having been through it on both sides, wearing both uniforms at one point certainly matters. But the difference between broadcasting and playing is that after broadcasting a game, I put my head on my pillow and go to sleep. After pitching in one of these games, I put my head on my pillow and I toss and turn all night long, depending on what the outcome was.
What do you remember about when you were first introduced to the postseason? Because a lot of these guys are being introduced for the postseason. Yeah. You can tell them what it's like, but until you do it, what do you remember about that initial experience?
You can't prepare for the intensity of the postseason. There's no way to prepare for how important every pitch is, the feeling in the crowd, on the bench, among your teammates. Realizing that one pitch or one mistake could be the difference in the game is much different than in the regular season. So, yeah, that's something you have to go through to understand. It's kind of, you know, it's sort of like having a baby, right? Unless you've been through that, you don't really get it.
Yeah. But, do you remember being told all this and then you actually do it and like, ooh, this is different?
Yeah, it was completely different. You know, every little thing about it was different. Mm. And but all I can say is just the intensity level is ramped up so much higher to where you really do feel every pitch, every out, every inning kind of wears you down more and more. So it's much harder to retain your stuff as a pitcher.
Is it really?
Yeah, for later in the inning, because you expend so much emotion.
Well, that's the thing. I forget who just told me this. It felt like 2.5 pitches. Where it's like 2.5 regular season pitches for every one postseason pitch, right?
That's pretty accurate. Yeah. It is. I think it's the emotional level too that gets exhausted quickly because you concentrate so hard and you give so much emotion to every pitch that it wears you down.
It's funny you say that. With Zach Gallen, I talked to him. I'm obsessed with his 243 innings from a couple of years ago because nobody does this anymore, right? But he said when he finished, it wasn't physical. It was mental. He wanted to sleep for like 3 days. Yeah. Do you remember that? Like, because I would imagine you're running on adrenaline, right?
You do run on adrenaline. I remember pitching in a game in 1995 against the Mariners and throwing 140-something pitches and losing that game and then going home for 2 weeks and laying on the couch.
Oh, my goodness.
It took me about 2 weeks just to get up off the couch and at home when the season's over.
Wow, that's crazy. So I know this is a cliche question, but what is some of your favorite, maybe not necessarily like signature wins, but favorite postseason memories for you?
It's always the first, the first World Series championship with the Blue Jays in 1992 and the ticker tape parade there in Canada in Toronto was amazing. Mm. Canada's first World Series was remarkable. The Yankee first World Series in 96 was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And the Canyon of Heroes and, going through that, it's worth it. You know, when you get to a ticker tape parade, whatever it is in whatever city you're in, if you get to that and you get to experience that, it's worth it. I promise you. As a player, as a fan, if you go visit it or if you go see it, it's absolutely worth everything.
And just the last thing, how special it is. You guys have such a good booth, man. Like, I'm not to say it because I like you all personally, but you have such a good booth. What's it like being with these guys, with Eduardo, Carl, Buster, and these guys? I mean, you've been in good clubhouses before, but this feels like sort of like the same. You vibe off each other very, very well.
Yeah, no, they're generous. You know, there's no egos in there. That helps. You know, they don't care. We don't care who gets credit. We just in who says what or who brings up the salient points here or there. It's more about just that we really feel each other. We try to help each other. We cover for each other. Mm. And there's a trust. That builds a trust, I think, that I find important as opposed to somebody who's disagreeing all the time for a point-counterpoint type of production, which I never really liked, but, at times we've disagreed and it's been organic, but when you try to manufacture that sort of point-counterpoint thing, it never really works in the long run for me. So the trust that we have really, to me, has been one of the keys.
Well, we appreciate you. Thank you so much, and good luck, man. Appreciate
My pleasure.
It.
Thanks for having me.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.